This is the Ion Football Podcast with Will Brinson and Ryan Wilson.
Happy Free Agency Eve or something like that. This is the Ion Football Podcast. Will Brinson along with Ryan Wilson. The big cuts are starting to roll in. Maybe we're still in the slow period leading up to free agency, but this is kind of a stretch of the NFL offseason where things are happening and there are names being dropped, mid-level names being dropped. It's like a Brinson name-dropping fest, right, Ryan?
Llamas or that GD dress?
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a second. Reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes if you're not there right now. You can click on iTunes, and if you leave us a comment, I'll buy you a beer. And
as it's you'll a notice, long in the, list, by the way.
I know. I owe like $439 worth of beers to readers. But look, as soon as I come to your city, I'll buy it for you. Nice double IPA.
Seriously, we appreciate that. I mean, absolutely. This is not even a joke. Brinson and I daily, at least once a day, maybe more. I won't say which. Check iTunes to see how things are going in terms of the comments and the reviews, because we appreciate it. And it makes us feel good about ourselves. And let's be honest, the only person with lower self-esteem than me is you.
That's right. And myself, I'm feeling pretty good right now because it is Friday as we record this. Friday afternoon, I spent, you don't realize, two things you don't realize. One, how badly your children depend on television. And two, how much you miss when you don't have power for 16 hours. We got 3 inches of snow in North Carolina, of course. Greg Fischel, your
Wait,
boy.
One more time, how many inches?
3 inches.
Lord,
full,
help us.
We got a full Prisco here in North Carolina. As we like to call it. That's what Pete named it. Greg Fischel, the weatherman, he was like the weather guy at WRAL
Long
when
time
you were
weather.
Here.
He was the weatherman for WRAL back in the 80s when I was a young
right.
lad in North
and
Carolina.
He was there when I was in college. He's still here. You know, he's still here. And me and my friends have a running joke. We're like, Greg Fischel's got worse predictions than I do because, you know, I mean, like Saints to the Super Bowl is nothing compared to the way that Fischel whiffs. And he's so flustered right now. He totally missed on the big storm coming in, the quote-unquote big storm. But we got like an inch and a half early on Tuesday. And then Wednesday night, Fischel finally makes it, like, he didn't make it until like 11 o'clock at night. He's so scared of being wrong. He finally makes his prediction and he says it's going to be between 10 and 11 inches. And we get three
oh my
inches.
God, people are freaking out.
Freaking out. We're like, holy crap, you know, this is a big deal. We end up getting three. I mean, it snowed hard. Don't get me wrong. Like it, and he said the first snow, he said it was going to snow for 2 hours starting starting around noon and ending around 2 o'clock. It should snow. It was snowing at 8 a.m. It didn't stop until 5 p.m.
Like, yeah, he's close.
No, he couldn't be so any further off. And then after this last storm, he actually went on WRAL and wrote a post talking about how it read somewhere in between like a resignation and a suicide letter, or like a suicide. Like it was so depressing because he basically said I'm out of my element. He was talking about how because he doesn't tweet or anything, and
he's 100 to be fair.
Yeah, but like if you're a weather dude in today's day and age, you need to be firing out like updates. Like the guy Brad, whatever his name is in Charlotte, he's like WX Brad. He has like 100,000 followers and he does these live Facebook videos from his house, like showing radar and talking about it and like keeping people updated. Fischel shows up at 11 o'clock p.m. It's like, well, there might be 11 inches. I mean, it's just, you got to step up your game, Greg.
All right, name this movie. Like CNN and the Weather Channel, constant updates.
That was the movie quote? Oh, I don't know. I'm totally
chasing Amy.
Okay. I knew it was
they
something
were talking
with
about Naughty Time.
That's right. I knew. Oh, yeah. Now I remember that. I knew it was something from Kevin Smith.
But Greg, so anyway, take a lesson from Chasing Amy there.
So anyway, Fischel whiffs on this prediction of weather. And in the 16 hours that I don't have power, you know, and I live in I've got a booster, so I don't have great signal here. And I've got a 13 month old kid, and me and the kid and the wife are huddled up. You know, we go to like this, we go
homeless
find
shelter?
Lunch. No, I mean we're up in the office. I mean it's, you know, we're dealing with, you know, it's not that big of a problem. But when you don't have anything to entertain your kid for 16 hours, and you're worried about whether you can sleep in the cold house, et cetera, you know, it, you don't really spend a whole lot of time on Twitter. Is my main takeaway from this. And I come back from getting power, and the entire world is freaking out. This llama stuff has already happened. It's over. It's done with. And everybody's freaking out about the stupid dress that is either white and gold or black and blue. What, I mean, what the hell, man?
Here's the thing. I stepped away from my computer for about 15 minutes yesterday afternoon on Thursday because I was dealing with my 3-year-old who isn't compliant as he should be, which means he doesn't listen to anything. But anyway, I come back and this llama thing has taken over Twitter and I'm super angry about it because I don't give a crap about llamas. Of course, I have to end up writing about it because the Cardinals have tweeted out that they've signed these llamas. So that's great. And then later in the evening, go ahead.
But the llamas have nothing to do with sports until the Cardinals tweet that, right?
Absolutely correct.
So in other words, you're just like, these llamas are stupid. It's kind of a hysterical llama chase. And then all of a sudden your day gets wrecked because you have to write about the tweets.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say wrecked. It's just, it's a mild annoyance. Fair enough. Whatever. Right. So, and the Steelers tweeted something too. So of course, the llamas had a terrible towel and that was wildly hysterical. And then this evening or Thursday evening, I check Twitter and people are going crazy about this blue dress. And then I get really angry because I don't care about a blue dress. I don't have any context for what it means. And then I go back and read through it and I say, this is stupid because clearly it's a blue dress. And I had the photograph of the dress up on my phone. I show my wife.
Sure.
And she goes, yeah, it's gold and white. And I go, what are you doing? And then I clearly.
But you think it was blue?
Yeah, it was blue.
I mean, apparently it was blue, but all I can see, it was clearly gold and white to me.
Isn't that crazy? Even... It's the craziest thing. Now, what hasn't happened for me, and if people haven't seen it, just Google what color is that dress, and you'll understand in about 30 seconds what we're talking about. Some people, the dress changed colors from one viewing to the next. That hasn't happened for me. What about you?
No. It's been white and gold the whole time. I read some brief stuff, and again, like, you know, I'm logging on to Twitter for the first time in over 24 hours.
You're already angry to start with because you'd been off of Twitter for so long.
Exactly. I haven't had Twitter. Yeah, I mean, you can't.
You know what that is for me? That's called a vacation.
It's actually nice. I love getting off Twitter for 24 hours. No, I do.
Until you remember that Team Brinson isn't out there promoting the brand.
But what happens is you leave Twitter for 24 hours and then you come back and you realize just how stupid all of it is.
Because you need to leave Twitter to figure that out. By the way, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to show you something. Check this out.
You actually are showing me.
This relates to the dress. And I think this sort of clears it up. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's all relative in terms of what the dress color is.
Yeah. No, I get that. It depends on what backdrop you're looking at and what.
But I do think it has something to do with people's eyeballs, too. Because
the retinas and stuff, yeah.
Retina cones things makes perfect sense. My wife's an art teacher, and she said, yeah, I don't think that's exactly it.
And this is the same dress, correct?
Right, yeah. I'll send you the entire link and add some context because those don't have words with it. But yeah, so this is
probably helpful for podcast listeners to...
Yeah, Google what I told you to Google. Yeah. Do what I tell you to do. Quit asking questions.
Like, I was looking at, like, you know, what's crazy is I was... Oh, and then somebody did a Vine where it's like, it's the light.
I saw
if you turn down the light, all of a sudden...
I don't believe any of that stuff.
What? Why not?
We live in, you know, where everything...
8,570,000 Vine loops on that. It's incredible. I looked at the BuzzFeed voting for what color is this dress, and I voted because I'm a jackass.
Well, of course you did. That goes
330,000 people said white and gold. 120,000 people said blue and black. I mean, that's just... it's mind-blowing. This is all... I mean, and I asked my wife about this, you know, just like you. I was like, have you heard about this dress? She goes, oh, that Tumblr stuff? Yeah, that happened like 12 hours ago. I was like, why weren't you playing with the kid?
What are you talking about?
She saw white and gold. She thought it was crazy that anybody could see black and
blue. That's the thing. People got so angry that people saw something. Like, I don't care that they saw something else. I'm more interested in why people see these things differently, the exact same photo. And what happens is, like, this photo is very low contrast. It looks like it's not very, you know, it's pretty washed out. But if you look at a contrasty version of it where the colors are clearer, then everyone sees, like, when you look at the original, you see on the Amazon link or whatever, you see blue and black, I'm assuming.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but credit to the Duke Blue Devils. They tweeted out, this is about 3 hours ago on Friday morning. They said, we will be wearing this all new white jersey for the game tomorrow. It is white, not blue. Oh. That's clever.
Who's the guy who started Sports Pickle? What's his name? DJ Gallo. He tweeted
DJ Gallo.
Did you see what he tweeted out? It was hysterical. Basically,
I did not.
It went something like this. I'm paraphrasing. He said, one more reason that white supremacists are stupid. Their skin is actually blue.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good. So anyway, and the sports tie into that is that a bunch of NFL teams started tweeting out their version of what they saw, and it was always their team's color. So that also was wildly hysterical, and that was written up on CBS.
If there's one thing, and this is not, I mean, I don't want to be like, woe is me for having to write up, like meme related tweets. I'm glad that we can bring in pop culture. Because, you know, we're doing this podcast. I'm glad that we can bring in pop culture into things we write. But it seems like everybody is so hashtag brand, hashtag aware these days that every time there's some sort of meme, like Duke did that. But Duke's, you know, it's a clever tweet. It's like it's like you have to bring in, like, every time something happens in pop culture, single team has to weigh in. It's like, you really don't. Like somebody, I will say the one thing, I don't know, did you see the Rockets, the Houston Rockets Twitter thing?
No, are they a basketball team?
They are. So so they go on did you see the James Harden crossover on Ricky Rubio?
I saw the headline. I didn't watch it because I figured it was just some guy getting his poor ankles broken.
It is. I mean, it's not even broken. It's like they melt into jello and just he collapses on the floor. It is. And then Harden steps back and it's on par with, remember that ACC tournament where Randolph Childress crossed up? Who's the Carolina point guard he crossed up? Was it Ed Cota?
Oh, he crossed up Ed Cota?
Was it Ed Cota? But anyway,
was it Jeff McGinnis?
It's Jeff McGinnis. Yeah. That's who it was. Yeah, thank you. But he crosses up McGinnis. McGinnis is down on the floor, and Childress like pulls his hand. And he goes, get up. And
that's a Chad Ochocinco move.
Yeah, and as soon as McGinnis gets up, he just buries his 8-3 in his face. But it's like that. I mean, it's like it's that level. Like Harden crosses up. Ricky Rubio tries to scramble. Harden just steps back and drops his three. So the Rockets tweet, after three, Rockets lead Timberwolves 84-75. Ricky Rubio may be dead.
Oh, that's actually pretty funny.
Right, and they also tweeted like a skull and crossbones with the vine of the play, which is funny too. The Timberwolves respond with a gif, and it's a gif of like, It's a chick who's making like a mean face at the dentist office. Like she's all doped up on painkillers. It's kind of, you know, it's like, all right, they're playing along. That's cool. And then the Rockets tweet back at them, ask that girl if the hospital she is in has crutches for Ricky.
Oh.
And it's just, and the Timberwolves are just like dot, 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 dot. Because there's like, it's like usually these little teams play along and the Rockets are just laying haymakers on the Timberwolves.
Good. I'm fine with that. Mix it up.
No, it's great. I love it. And so and
you know,
this
the social media guy for the Rockets got fired for that.
No way, he got a promotion. I mean, that was...
people
that
are
was,
so sensitive about everything. I mean,
they really are. So this is all the... I missed all the llama drama. I'm a big llama.
Save the llama for your mama. What's that?
I'm a big fan of llamas, so I'm kind of mad I missed this.
Why?
I
mean, who says that? Why are you a big fan of llamas?
I just think llamas are cool. Did you know that Leonard Nimoy, Spock, died?
I did
Friday.
See that. That's 83. He lived a long and very... what's the word?
Prosperous.
Prosperous, yeah.
Live long and prosper.
Perfect, yeah. I'm making the little V sign. He did though. I thought no one disliked Spock, I would think. He was fantastic.
I wasn't a big Star Trek guy.
Neither was I, but I mean
I would say that Mike Freeman, our old colleague who's now at Bleacher Report, this is probably the roughest day of his entire life.
Yeah, little known secret. Mike Freeman is actually older than Spock.
That's right. And by the way, Leonard Nimoy's last tweet.
Yeah.
On 2:36 AM, February 23rd, 2015. A life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory. Live long and prosper.
That's how you want to go out. And listen, I'll be honest, as someone who doesn't tweet very often, I often worry, what is my last tweet going to be?
Oh, wow. I had never even thought. Now I'm terrified.
Well,
of this,
I'm telling you that in part to hopefully curb some of that, all that tweeting you people do. So get that word out there to people. Don't be the guy that has the last tweet that's terrible.
I mean, like right now, my last tweet would be hashtag the dress. And then I have I posted the video of the dude from Mallrats. He's like, it's not a sailboat. It's a schooner, you idiot.
So here's what'll happen. God forbid, should you die the next 15 minutes while we're on this podcast, which would be great for branding for me, not for you. But at your funeral, they'll have your big, you know, they have those big pictures of your face up there or next to the casket. But next to that, they'll have a blown up picture of your last tweet. So
no way. I'm going to see now. This is where you go back and pin one of your best tweets up to the top. So that way people are like, oh, look at that great tweet he had at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's not a bad idea. There you go. Problem solved. Work around.
We're going to have to pause this podcast so I can set this up right now. Well, I was worried before because I had, it's gone away now, thank goodness, but it took like 20 minutes for me to get rid of the snow blindness. I was making food in the kitchen and looking out onto the expanse of snow in my backyard, all 3 inches across the prairie that is my backyard. And all of a sudden I was in the kitchen and it was like, it felt like I was, you know, either at a Katy Perry halftime show or just nice. straight up on drugs. I mean, it was like my eyes were doing weird things. I was like, holy crap, what if I stroke out in the middle of an Eye on Football podcast? That's worse. I'm going to like stroke out in the middle of an Eye on Football podcast, and my last tweet is something about a Mallrats dress joke. This is not the way I want to go out.
Headline, North Carolinian and Darwin Award candidate blinded by 3 inches of snow.
How often, at what age did you start to worry about what would happen when you went in terms of your family?
God, as soon as my kid was born, my first kid.
Yeah.
You don't give a crap about anything in your 20s if you don't have kids. As soon as you have a kid, you're like, oh, Jesus, I can't get fired. I can't, you know,
right.
My whole life is now spent, and I catch myself doing it, telling my kids not to do things, but I don't want to be that guy whose kids resent them because you didn't let them do anything, but you're forever worried about the stupidest stuff. And, you know, growing up, you know this as well. We fell off of everything. We broke everything, and you got hit by cars. And you got Byron Leftwich got hit twice by a car. He turned out okay.
Ben Roethlisberger got hit by 19 motorcycles.
Yeah, he was too. As Howard Stern once said about someone, he was too dumb to die. So, yeah, you know, that's what happens. All right, so what else?
So anyway, football stuff. Yeah.
Should we talk about that?
Yeah, I guess we should talk about some football stuff. Notable big name cuts. Reggie Bush from the Lions. We'll run through these one by one because they're all pretty, and you know, a couple of them are bleh. But Reggie Bush, I think, is notable, not because Reggie Bush is has a ton left in the tank. I think he doesn't have it. Maybe he does for a team. Honestly, if you come back to the Saints on the cheap and try and help them, I don't know if he's going to do that. But I mean, you know, remember he our boy Chris Trapasso, who wrote a piece on Reggie Bush. It's called The Awesome That Was. And basically he's looking back at these star, because Reggie Bush, when he came out of college, was
supposed to be the best college player. Was he the best college player ever when he came out? Considered one of the best?
Yeah, sure. I'll buy that. I mean, you know, Leinart was really, really good too, but.
And they had Lindale White. I mean, that was, God, that team.
Yeah, the team was unbelievable. They should have won thrice.
And Mike Williams, I think, played with him for a little bit.
That's right. And they had Matt Khalil, or did he come later off that team? Yeah, he was later off that team. But yeah, I mean, look, that the USC team was legendary.
Yeah. And they lost to Vince Young
in Texas in a game that they got a football life out of it, I think, or a 30 for 30. It was a football life. It was well worth it because it was really good. But Bush is fascinating because he's not this, you know, as a guy turns 30, it's okay. Like Reggie Bush is okay post 30 because you're not requiring him. He doesn't have the mileage that he's had, and he's 29. He'll be 30 on March 2nd, but he doesn't have the same mileage that a typical 30-year-old running back, a la Steven Jackson, who recently got cut as well. So I'll ask you this: we'll play. Would you rather? Would you rather sign Reggie Bush or Steven Jackson?
Well, I'll do this like I do most things this offseason from the perspective of a Steelers fan. And our buddy Ed Bouchet at the Pittsburgh Post Gazette wrote about this on Friday morning. If Reggie Bush might make sense for the right price, of course, in Pittsburgh, because Le'Veon Bell is going to get suspended 2 games for the marijuana thing last year with your boy LeGarrette Blount.
Oh, yeah.
I would take Reggie Bush for the obvious reasons. He's 30. Steven Jackson's 32. Much fewer miles than Steven Jackson. And he's a change of pace guy. He wouldn't need to carry the load. He'd have to want to be the number two guy in Pittsburgh or the number one guy for a couple weeks. If you're Reggie Bush, as Will Brinson, would you rather go to New Orleans or to Pittsburgh?
Well, I know that I've had success in New Orleans, but I know that if I go to New Orleans, I'm going to have to take a very discounted price because they are in salary cap.
Pay cut wherever you go. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but they're like really discounted price to go back to New Orleans
because
they're like $20 million in the hole in the salary cap and have to do a lot of restructuring.
Steelers actually have about $8 million wiggle room, which is pretty good for Pittsburgh this time of year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is really good. You know that in New Orleans, you will thrive in Sean Payton's offense, but I think I would go to Pittsburgh. You know, this is a better opportunity. I can't believe I'm saying this. Better opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
I think we know what happened, what he can do in New Orleans. He was never great in New Orleans, but I don't think he's going to be great at any point.
He was a great pass catcher in New Orleans. He wasn't a great running back.
Well, that's my point.
I think in Todd Haley's offense.
Right, exactly.
Look, he had Le'Veon Bell lined up all over the place last
year. Exactly, that's my point.
You could go out there with Reggie Bush and Le'Veon Bell in the backfield together. And then it's like split guys out and move people all around. I think you could do some really dirty stuff with him. And then that's not even counting Dree Archer. I mean,
they're down on him. But yeah.
Huh? Well, yeah. But I mean, he's, you know, he's at least a guy you can move around.
Jesus,
and get the ball to.
Let Reggie Bush return kicks too.
Yeah. I mean, look, Reggie Bush has plenty left in the tank, especially as a pass catcher. You know,
he was a disappointment in Detroit though, right?
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, they cut him. I mean, he wouldn't. They, Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. But right. Is anyone taking Steven Jackson over Reggie Bush in the scenario for the comparable prices?
No, in fact, yeah. I had forgotten that Steven Jackson was even released. He wasn't even on my list of people to mention until I remembered that he was a 30-year-old running back. And, yeah. And that
he's got a lot of miles. He came out in 2004.
I'm going to say that Reggie Bush maybe wasn't a disappointment. He had a 1,000-yard season in rushing in 2000.
Taken in totality, but individual games, there he didn't show up a lot of times, and I think that was...
2014 was a terrible year for him. 76 carries, 297 yards, 3.9 yards.
Look, I know
carry.
2013 looks good on paper. He was benched, though, at one point late in that season.
Yeah, God, he had a massive year, though. I mean, he had 500 receiving yards and 1,000 rushing yards. That's a great season.
Yeah, play with Matthew Stafford and across from Megatron. That'll help you out.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, I think Reggie Bush, if I was a team and I can get Reggie Bush for a cheaper option, I think Pittsburgh is a really, really good fit. And he would do some dirty stuff in that offense.
I wonder what a cheap option. What's he thinking? Because what'll happen is, and there's probably very little chance he ends up in Pittsburgh because he'll probably get signed relatively soon. I would think he would. Yeah. And they'll wait around. But I mean, they're gonna give more than $3 million a year. He was gonna make 3.5, I believe, in Detroit. Ugh.
Yeah, maybe so.
Is someone gonna give him more than that?
No, probably not. I don't think anybody's going to open up the coffers for a running back. Because look, when you start looking around at this, the field, you know, Steven Jackson's out there. All right, so here's a better would you rather. Steven Jackson or D'Angelo Williams?
Oh, boy. I would take Steven Jackson just because he's bigger and less likely to get hurt. But, I mean, at this point, just draft a 7th-round pick and see what happens.
Well, no, but I'm saying you have to sign one. Yeah, I mean, the answer is neither. You don't want to pay either.
I think Jackson. But just D'Angelo's so small, he has trouble staying healthy.
Yeah, D'Angelo hadn't had a great season.
He's DeMarco Murray in 3 years.
That's exactly right. Steven Jackson got a lot of wear and tear on his tires. I mean,
he's basically a what do they call it? What's it called? A halfback. What was Chris Cooley?
He was grinding out like just, I mean, he's 16th all time in rushing attempts.
Yeah, he spent a lot of his time at the end of his career in St. Louis carrying 10 defenders down the field for 3 yard gains.
Yeah. I mean, he's less than 100 carries behind Marshall Faulk. Yeah. Marshall Faulk's been in the Hall of Fame for like 5 years. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. And of course, Jackson was Faulk's replacement there. I mean, the point is that he had a ton of carries before the Falcons signed him, I think, behind a really good offensive line. Now, Steven Jackson would be interesting maybe if you don't want to sign, if you're the Cowboys and you didn't want to sign DeMarco Murray to a ton of money, maybe you draft Todd Gurley in the first and add Steven Jackson and you gamble that one of those guys pays off.
Just get AP and get it over with. That would be terrible to draft Todd Gurley. Is his name Todd? Is it Todd first name?
It's Todd Gurley.
Todd, yeah. Drafting that guy. I mean, yes, he'll probably be healthy, but I don't know. This whole first round pick running back things, they're back now. I'm not buying it.
All right, well, we'll get to AP in a second. So, yeah, I maybe Steven Jackson. You know, but if you're smart, you don't go near Steven Jackson or D'Angelo Williams. It's money that you don't need to
not
be
until
spending.
Like June.
That's right. Chris Canty, cut by the Ravens. Big deal or no big deal?
No. John Harbaugh said he was... The Ravens were much better for having him the last two seasons, but clearly not so much to keep him around for another year.
That's right. A.J. Hawk cut by the Packers.
There's a guy who never lived up to, even close to living up to his hype.
That's true. He did have, if you want to give Hawk some credit, I mean, he developed it. He had some nice seasons.
Yeah.
Next to Clay Matthews as kind of a run stuffer, but.
Never a top 10 pick.
No.
And look, I don't fault the Packers for taking him. I thought it made sense at the time. Everyone loved him. He wasn't quite the what's the Wake Forest guy that went to Seattle and busted out?
Aaron Curry.
Yeah, he was a slam dunk in a sense that everyone loved him coming out. There wasn't a lot.
He's the definition of safe pick as a linebacker. Right, like you take him and he doesn't submarine your team like Aaron Curry or Rolando McClain. But I mean,
Rolando McClain's issues were all off the field. He was on the field. He was good when he wanted to play. But yeah, he was no Aaron Curry by any means. He was
safest pick in a decade.
He was a B-minus player, and that's not. I mean, he started a bunch of games for a long time, and he helped the team win. There you go.
Yeah, and look, he had some good. Yeah, now I'm curious how the guys in that draft. Because the 2006 draft, he was he was the 5th overall pick. Never made a Pro Bowl somehow.
Yeah. Lawrence Simmons just made his first Pro Bowl this year.
All right, he was a better pick than Ernie Sims, a better pick than Matt Leinart.
Yeah.
Cameron Winley brought, there's Haloti Ngata you could have taken. That would have been a slightly better pick. Dante Whitner, Vernon Davis were taken after him. Mm. Chad Greenway, better linebacker than AJ Hawk. Antonio Cromartie.
Not a bad draft.
Yeah. Tom Bahali would have been better too. Ooh. So yeah, that would have been much better. D'Angelo Williams, same draft. Wow. Those guys, it's amazing that D'Angelo lasted on the same team as long as AJ Hawk did on the same team.
Well, that's Marty Herney's magic right there.
Right. But I'm just saying, as a running back, that's really surprising. You don't typically see that. Michael Orr released a while ago, I think, unless he was already set to, no, he was released, right? He was released.
Who's that?
Michael Orr.
Yeah. No, he was released.
Yeah. Okay. So the Panthers have reportedly brought Michael Orr. I want to say Orr every time.
Call him Blindside.
Yeah, the Blindside. They brought him in for a look at tackle. And a lot of people poo-pooed the idea of Carolina signing him because he's not very good.
He's not terrible. I mean, listen, that offensive line played better than anyone thought they would, but they started that. Who was that random white dude?
Byron Bell and Nate Chandler.
No, who was the random white dude off the Canadian guy, the white tackle, oh, the God, left tackle yeah. they started that
the
one
white,
game?
The great white tackle. Yeah.
It's like that basketball show that Bill Simmons, what's that basketball show that Bill Simmons loves? White Shadow. He was the White Shadow.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, Carolina, and Byron Bell is going to hit free agency. The Panthers are not, they're not going to sweat trying to bring him back. So if you're Carolina, you're probably in a situation, depending on how the draft shakes out, where you're taking a tackle with your first pick. And it wouldn't be terrible, I suppose, to bring in Orr, bring in maybe another veteran tackle, and then to pair him with a young guy. And, you know, look, it's not going to – the problem is people expect that you can draft a high pick and start him at left tackle from day one and they'll succeed. And that's just – it's really not the case.
Look at Mr. Matthews last year in Atlanta.
That's right. I mean, like, ideally
– Or Khalil the year before in Minnesota. God.
Khalil had a good rookie year, but then he struggled. Yeah, I mean, it's
– He's knocking hats off people's heads on the way to the parking lot at games now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, what you want is you bring in a young guy. You want to do it like the Panthers did with Jordan Gross and maybe somebody else, but you want to start those guys. You want to start that draft pick at guard or maybe right tackle.
And I think it depends on the player, too, because, listen, Joe Thomas showed up and just started wrecking people. And
Joe Thomas is the exception to the rule.
Yeah. And, but, yeah, you're right. For the most part, these guys take time. I mean, who did the – Robinson last year, another guy who played guard, which made sense. Yeah. Because
well, and Robinson was always – you know, when they drafted him, he was the type of guy – Yeah, but he was the type of guy who was like, he might be a right tackle anyway. You know, like he might never be, because he was a mauler in the run game, but not necessarily like a technician in the pass game. Like Jake Matthews, you would have rather had at the left tackle to start than Robinson. I just think these guys take time to really mature into being mentally able to handle the rigors of left tackle.
Yeah, and I think Orr is a stopgap option. He's not terrible. I mean, Ravens fans hated him because he never lived up to the Blindside mystique. Hype. Yeah, but... you got to be realistic about these things too.
Michael Ruse retired, so suddenly you have Orr is cut by the Titans. Ruse retires, and they had too many tackles going into the last year after they drafted Taylor Lewan in the first round, and now they only have one. So that's they got
Dick LeBeau is going to play left tackle this year for the Titans.
That'd be awesome to watch. They do have Andy Levitre and Chance Warmack at the guard position, so they're
Warmack's a beast. Spots.
Yeah, that's right. So wide receivers who were cut, and then we'll segue into some big name wide receivers that could be on the move. Two guys, Harry Douglas and Brian Hartline. Would you rather sign Harry Douglas or Brian Hartline?
You know, here's the deal. I've never been a huge Harry Douglas guy. And even though last year I was looking up the numbers for both players on Football Outsiders, and they're pretty evenly ranked middle of the pack, bottom third. But I think I'm going to go with Brian Hartline based on his longevity in terms of production. Although, let's be honest, I mean, it's sort of a slightly better, less ghetto version of the conversation we're having about Steven Jackson versus your boy.
D'Angelo. I think Hartline, I mean, so the thing with Harry Douglas is at times he has stepped in and how the hell is he already 30? That's crazy.
Louisville. I don't know. I think it's third round
of 2008. It's like Roddy, that means Roddy White's like 52.
Yeah,
right?
That dude's been around forever. 2005 first round pick.
Yeah, because remember, was he 2005?
Yep.
Jeez. He was the guy, they took him in the first round and everybody thought, all right, you know, it took him like three extra years to break out.
Because they had him and then I think they had previously drafted Michael Jenkins out of Ohio State and they're like, that's okay, right. We're set at wide receiver and Jenkins turned out to be terrible.
And they were like, we got Vic to throw to him. These guys are going to blow up for 10 years. And then It turns out Roddy White was terrible. Well, not terrible, but he struggled to really be consistent. Matt Ryan comes and then all of a sudden he breaks out and he becomes this kind of consistent threat for a long time.
Go time.
Which leads us back to the idea that Harry Douglas is somehow 30, Brian Hartline is no spring chicken. He's 28, but I think Hartline is a more dependable slot wide receiver that you can plug in. So like Brian Hartline
is,
would make
Wes
sense.
Welker, like you might even say.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. If you're going to be racist about it,
he's a white tackle.
That's right. Yeah, If I was somebody like the Panthers, I would go sign Brian Hartline.
You have him. His name's Burson or whatever that dude's name.
Yeah, but that dude just drops punts, and he's from Wofford. What you need is a dependable underneath option for Cam Newton that's not named Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
To catch footballs, and then there's always a trickle down effect in football, and when you have a dependable underneath option, it frees things up for a guy like, or vice versa. If Kelvin Benjamin is stretching the field, it frees things up for a guy like Brian Hartline to work underneath and to Greg Olsen to work underneath.
So who were we talking about in the last podcast that the Panthers might be interested in at wide receiver opposite Kelvin?
Randall Cobb, but he's going to be way too expensive.
Do they have, they have money, don't they, or not?
Some money relative to the past 2 years, but not a ton of cash.
So you're saying you'd be quite comfortable with Benjamin, Cobb, and Hartline as the starting three? God, and you have Kotry coming back too? That would be perfect.
Benjamin Cobb and Hartline? I don't think they're gonna.
No, I know. I'm just brainstorming.
Panthers have $16 million in cap space.
Oh, so not a bunch. But you could work something out.
They're gonna add two more. Remember, they announced that they didn't announce anything. D'Angelo Williams did an exclusive interview. You could tell this is very PR oriented because he gave the interview, and the girl was like, "Now something you're not happy with the Panthers about," and he's mad that they didn't come to his mom's funeral and nobody really called him. And Greg Hardy's the only guy that showed up. And he goes, to be honest, did you say Tolbert showed up too?
I think our buddy Joe Person at the Charlotte Observer said Tolbert as well.
Oh, okay. Well,
in the spirit of full information.
Disclosure. And D'Angelo was like, I probably wouldn't have even brought it up if you hadn't asked me about it.
Uh-huh.
It's like, bro, you're doing an exclusive interview to let the world know that you're being cut before the Panthers announce it. And the Panthers won't announce it until they're eligible to name him designate him a post June 1 cut.
Oh, so this is going to be a while.
Yeah, exactly. Because he saves, if they cut him right now, they wouldn't save, they get $6 million in dead money. But if they cut him post June 1, it's only $4 million in dead money. So they free up $2 million, and that's why they're doing it. And D'Angelo's production, coupled with the presence of Tolbert and Fuzzy Whitaker and Fuzzy Whitaker.
Like
Fuzzy.
It matters, Fuzzy or Fozzy. Yeah. How dare Fuzzy's, you call me Fuzzy?
Isn't Fuzzy better than Fozzy?
I was going to say, it might be.
I got a friend whose stepfather-in-law is named Fuzzy.
What's his full name? Foster or something?
I don't know. I've never talked to him that long to find out.
Faustian?
I think Fuzzy's just a nickname because he has a beard, probably. But yeah, I mean, so that whole D'Angelo mess happened. The Panthers will have $18 million in cap space. I mentioned them as a possible candidate for Randall Cobb. I don't think they'll be able to keep pace with the Jaguars and the Raiders of the world and spend the type of money required to get Randall Cobb. So I think Hartline would be an interesting option for them. How about the Browns? Go sign Hartline. Get your quarterback, whoever the hell it is, a dependable option.
On paper it makes sense, but anyone who goes to Cleveland invariably is terrible. So you have to consider that, whether taking all that money is worth it. And if it is, by all
means,
go.
Worth noting, Brian Hartline, Ohio State legend, just saying.
Yeah, just so saying. Is Santonio Holmes.
Hey, sign them both. They're both out there. And Santonio Holmes is a free agent, right? Is he retired yet?
He is a free agent. I'm sure he would come back to work if someone asked him to.
Yes, he most certainly would in a heartbeat. All right, so that leads us to big name wide receivers. Jason Lockefort has got a column going up on CBSSports.com soon that breaks down basically all of these possible wide receivers who could hit the market. I saw somebody getting mad at like the idea of the Jaguars. So Bleacher Report wrote a story that, report Jaguars have, quote, strong interest in Ndamukong Suh after Lockefort.
How's that a report? Wouldn't that be the truth?
Well, yeah, but so Lockefora wrote, he's like, count me among those who believe the Jaguars will strongly pursue with all of their piles of money Ndamukong Suh in free agency. And so it's a free agency buzz column. So in other words, when Lockefora says that the Colts and Brandon Marshall might be a fit, and we'll talk about that, he's not saying that a deal's in place. He's just saying he's throwing the buzz out there, generating the
rumor speculating. Column.
Speculating, exactly.
Yeah.
So the three names, four names, five names. Wow, five names. Mike Wallace, who could pitch. He the latest news out of Miami or reports buzz, if you will, is that he has no interest in taking a pay cut from the Dolphins. No surprise, they signed him to a mammoth deal in free agency. At the time, everyone agreed it was a stupid contract. And
he's going to make $10 million in 2015.
Yeah. Now everyone finally agrees that it was in fact a stupid contract. So we knew he would get cut before the end of that deal. The question is, where does he go? Now, I think ultimately Miami cuts him, right?
Jesus, I hope so. They have the $3 million bonus coming due in a few weeks. And then, you know, you're not going to pay the guy $9.9 million in 2015. They're trying to trade him. No one in the right mind is going to give up anything for that steaming pile of garbage. So, yeah. Who wrote this? I'm trying to think. I don't remember who. Maybe I read it on NFL.com or PFT somewhere. But they pointed out this was very similar to last year's situation with DeSean Jackson and the Eagles. Signed him to a big deal. They ended up just cutting him. They couldn't trade him, and he landed in Washington. The difference is DeSean Jackson is a much better player than Mike Wallace. Our buddy Lock and Four wrote that Wallace is reportedly interested in going back to Pittsburgh. So here's the deal, and I wrote about this on Friday, talking about Wallace. Martavis Bryant set to make, I think, less than $700,000 next year. Sure. Would you trade Mike Wallace for $700,000 for Martavis Bryant?
No.
No one in their right mind would do that. I mean, I don't know.
No, I mean, Mike Wallace is, I mean, look, this contract is so, now, granted, 2016 and 2017 aren't guaranteed, so you can cut him, but he's got like, crazy cap numbers. I mean,
And he's terrible. Not terrible. 12, his numbers are B minus C plus numbers, but he's a locker room issue, apparently.
I mean, let's just put it, the Steelers were given grief repeatedly for letting these guys walk, but they played it absolutely perfectly. They let Santonio Holmes walk. He stunk with the Jets. They let Mike Wallace walk. He stunk with the Dolphins. And they signed Antonio Brown to a cheap free agency deal, a relatively cheap free agency deal. And they look like Kim Colbert looks like Wallace. A genius.
Yeah. And to be fair, they traded Holmes for a late round pick because he kept smoking weed and was going to be suspended for four games. And,
oh, right. Sorry. They didn't let him walk. Yeah.
And the pick they got for that turned into Antonio Brown.
That's right. I forgot about that. So, yeah, I mean, Kevin Colbert played that one like a fiddle. I mean, the Antonio Brown deal, and then remember, of course, they drafted Martavius Bryant and
Marcus Wheaton,
but flashed some last year. But the Antonio Bryant deal was actually given to Antonio Brown deal was actually given to Brown before. Remember, Mike Wallace was thinking about holding out. Didn't they pay Brown?
He sure did.
And just spited Wallace, and he played out that season, wasn't very great, and then still got paid.
Joke's on you, Mike Wallace.
I wouldn't. There's no. This is what happens when NFL teams float. So and so is on the block. Once you're on the block for to be traded, you're about to be cut.
Jenny on the block.
If somebody's trying to trade you, A, you're about to be cut, and B, nobody's going to trade for you because the NFL teams know that you were about to be cut. So why would you trade anything of any value? The only for Mike Wallace.
The only two places Mike Wallace might make sense at a reduced rate where he would actually contribute. You want to take two guesses?
Kansas City and...
He might make that group worse somehow.
He'd be terrible in Kansas City because all he does is catch the deep balls.
I would say the Patriots and the Seahawks.
I could see that. I could see that as a deep threat.
Yeah, I mean, they're less pressure to perform. He doesn't have to worry about having chemistry with the franchise quarterback. Just run down the field and shut up. And
Russell Wilson throws a nice deep ball. He's getting paid wide receiver one money, and he's not a wide receiver one. I mean, he runs like it, but he doesn't play like it.
Would you rather have Mike Wallace or Reggie Bush for the same amount of money?
Reggie Bush.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and this is not just you being a bitter Steelers fan. I mean,
I'm not bitter. I mean, when he left, they were fine. The joke was on him because he was terrible.
Joke's on you, buddy. You're not any good. So the next name, Brandon Marshall. I actually don't know if this was Lock and Four. I think this was Jason Cole of Bleacher Report who, I think, maybe Lock and Four wrote it too, in which case it's clearly smoke, fire, etc. But there's reports of Brandon Marshall maybe not being happy in Chicago, and Ryan Pace addressed the Marshall situation and wouldn't really, you know, commit to Marshall. So it's a possibility they could look to explore a deal to trade Brandon Marshall. And one of the possible landing spots mentioned was the Colts. We've seen that Ryan Grigson is not afraid to be bold and to go with gusto.
Gusto indeed. Will Adrian Peterson, well, what's his name? Brandon Marshall be playing running back?
No,
otherwise,
not.
Is he that big of a...
Well, you got to remember Reggie Wayne is out. I mean, when T.Y. Hilton was slow with injuries,
Akeem Nicks was on a 1-year deal, so he's out. They have Dante Moncrief who flashed, but he's still young and learning and all that. I guess it just seems like, do you want to tie up more money in a guy who's Marshall has to be close to 30 at this point, who's still very good, but how many years left does he have? two or three.
Marshall is 30.
Yeah.
He's got 3 years left on his deal. Not significant dead money in terms of, like, he's cuttable. You know, his cap number, his cap number the next 3 years is $9.5 million and $10.37 million.
I wouldn't want to pay him that much money.
That's right. So the problem is if you're trading with him, and his base salaries are 7.5, 7.9, 8.3, not guaranteed. You can cut him and get rid of the bonus money. I mean, the basic problem is if you trade for him, you're locking up a ton of money in a 30-year-old wide receiver who, while he's gotten much better in terms of his off and on field behavior, still didn't have a completely clean record, so to speak.
Instead, our colleague
for a little while.
Instead, I would sign Brian Hartline and draft one of the millions of wide receivers that everyone seems to love coming out.
Yeah, there are a lot of wide receivers available. A lot of running backs available too. I'm with you. I wouldn't trade for a 30-year-old running back with a massive contract. That's not good business. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Grigson did it and signed a because the Colts have tons of cap space money, I believe.
Well, more power to you, Ryan.
Okay, so what about Andre Johnson, Percy Harvin, and Marquise Colston? Any of those three float your boat? Colts have $45 million in cap space, by the way.
Harvin doesn't float my boat for all the issues in the locker room or off the field or whatever.
Yeah.
Look, when the Seahawks can't find a place for you in the offense, that also is a red flag because they can find a place for just about anybody, it seems. I like Andre Johnson, but he's an older version of Brandon Marshall, and Colston is an H-back / tight end at this point. He's great in that offense. I bet he'd be terrible in just about every other offense.
I'm with you. I think if you're Colston is he's crazy. He and Andre Johnson are crazy high on the all-time leaders for like receptions and receiving yards, but that should tell you how old they are. You know, I mean,
yeah, been around forever. 03 for Johnson, and Colston might be 06 maybe.
I wouldn't hate Andre Johnson going to the Patriots.
Yeah, of course, but I think that goes back, like, it's like Mike Wallace. Anyone can go to the Patriots and seem to have some sort of success for a little bit.
Well, no,
except for Albert Haynesworth.
I'm just thinking Andre Johnson is like a rich man's Brandon LaFell. But then think about them going to the Patriots. Remember how long it took LaFell to pick up on the offense? How long it took Ocho Cinco to pick up on the offense? I mean, you don't just waltz into New England.
Andre Johnson's been playing that West Coast offense forever, so there's that transition he has to deal with. He's 33 or whatever.
He could go to the Broncos and team up with Gary Kubiak.
There you go.
That's actually not a crazy idea.
Julius Thomas, basically, because Julius Thomas isn't blocking anybody, and he's another big target.
And so all of a sudden, if you're trotting out, I mean, I assume they're going to let Wes Welker walk, but you're trotting out Demaryius Thomas, who your franchise tag, you let Julius Thomas walk, Andre Johnson, and your boy Manny Sanders. That's pretty potent. You can put me, you, or Jacob Tammy at tight end, you'd be fine.
Now you just need a quarterback that can throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field.
The Peyton Manning thing, do you think is the Peyton Manning stuff lingering over the NFL offseason? Do you buy that he might not return?
No, I thought that was as good as done that he's coming back.
It's percolating that people are concerned or something. I don't know. It's weird. It's very bizarre. The whole Peyton Manning thing is
maybe the Broncos will trade up and take Jameis Winston.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Moving on. No,
I don't think that's happening. Why does nobody care? So we'll run through these last two things quickly.
Listen, before you ask this question, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Because it relates to the question you're about to ask because I can read your mind. Weirder that you would spend $73 in shots on sex on the beach, sex on the beach shots, or you would dance at the gas station an hour before you were accused of murdering someone?
I would say that the first one is a little weirder because the second one at least implies that if you drink $73 worth of sex on the beach shots, you can probably dance in weird places. Aaron Hernandez did both of those things. I shouldn't even chuckle. It's not even funny. He killed somebody or allegedly killed somebody.
He's on trial for killing someone. We don't know.
Nobody cares about this anymore. It's insane, right?
It was 2000.
He got arrested on my birthday. I know.
On your birthday, the day before my birthday, as it turns out. And I
That's
remember
right.
working, having to cover this idiot getting frog marched out of
the,
his house.
I was in the Bahamas.
Yeah,
the,
not
the Caymans,
working.
The Caymans. Not working. Not working at all.
But right, so that's been almost 2 years now since it first came down. And that was a huge story because it just came out of nowhere. No one, like a tight end who just signed a huge deal, 25 years old, murdering all these people. Turns out he's accused of murdering a couple people.
It's one of the all-time craziest, like,
way crazier than Ray Caruth, your boy from Carolina.
Yeah.
And other guys.
Crazier than Ray Lewis?
Ray.
maybe.
The only difference is if that had happened and then the Patriots had gone to the Super Bowl, because the Ravens had answered all those questions with Ray Lewis on the team at Media Day. And the Media Day was clearly nothing like it is now. But still, I remember Shannon Sharp had to step up and speak for Ray Lewis. But yeah, I mean, those are probably comparable. I guess Ray was probably a bigger player, but it's still out of nowhere. The Patriots aren't squeaky clean, but you know, you're not signing murderers that you know about. Driving down the street.
And Ray Lewis was a bigger player after, like, he became a bigger player after that, obviously.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's been 2 years. I think people are just, the stories kind of keep coming out over the months of other things that he's done, and people are, you know, they're moving on, which is sort of what the league wanted to happen after the Ray Rice thing. They just moved on and sort of forgot about it. And I think that's where we are. I guess once the verdict comes down, there'll be a little blip, but I don't think, you know, if he happens, Aaron Hernandez spend the rest of his life in jail, I suspect that we'll talk about it for a day and then no one will talk about it anymore unless he, you know, gets beat up in jail or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nuts that, like, this was it happened in the off season. I could see, depending on when this trial ends up playing out, that this could get more attention because, you know, if he gets off, or, you know, whether he's found innocent or guilty, if it ends up wrapping up in like June, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that a lot
the thing
of
is though, the I'm sure someone will ask Goodell about it. Didn't have to answer. Not his problem anymore.
In fact, we're letting the legal system take run its course.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he doesn't play for the NFL. He was cut by the Kraft, same deal. So, you know, it's not a black mark on them.
It's insane to me that, and this was all we talked about that offseason. It was like, does the NFL have a problem,
you know,
with guns?
Two reasons. No llamas and no blue dresses.
I think I just snotted on my microphone laughing at llamas. It's just bizarre to me. People care, like NFL people care, but the average fan does not care about Aaron Hernandez and his trial. It's nuts.
No, they don't seem to.
That's okay.
I wrote about,
look, the average fan has to go to work and deal with stuff that's not.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's like, look, man, it's Thursday. I don't care about these llamas. I got this factory thing going on.
Someone wrote in one of the comments, I wrote the story about
the llamas or
no, Hernandez dancing at the gas station at 2 a.m, an hour or so before Odin Lloyd was shot to death. And someone commented, he walked away from his car while he was pumping gas. Did this guy have no sense of responsibility? And that's an important question, because you really shouldn't leave your gas tank unattended. Oh, listen to this story. I'll tell you this quickly. Back in 2003, I went for a job interview in Washington, D.C. I lived in Pittsburgh at the time, because I was going to graduate school. So I rented a car, drove to D.C. for this interview, and drove back the same day. It's only like a 2.5-hour trip. I had to wear a suit and all this other stuff. And I'm leaving D.C., and I get lost, of course, because I wasn't used to D.C. And sure. I stopped to pump gas in this little Scion, some little piece of crap car that I had rented. And it was about probably 45 degrees that day. It was in early spring. And I went to pump gas. I had the back door open because I was going to change out of my suit and just put on regular clothes. And the gas tank is on the same side as the door that I had open. I went to the trunk to get my bag out. I slammed the trunk closed, and the gas nozzle still engaged, came out of the tank and went all in the back seat.
Oh Lord.
And
I'm your car was ruined.
It wasn't my car. Luckily, I was freaking out thinking, oh my God, this car's going to blow up. So I get a hold of the gas nozzle, engage it. And I'm like, what?
Did you smoke a cigarette to calm down?
I smoked a cigar. I was like, what am I going to do? So I wisely went into the convenience store and bought like 2 gallons worth of water and just dumped it in the back seat to dilute it, because I'm an idiot. And then because it was 40 degrees outside, I couldn't drive with the windows down because it was freezing.
Right. Sure.
But then I would have died on the 2.5-hour journey home. So I had to drive with the windows down at going 70 miles an hour on the interstate to air out the car. And so that comment that I just read from that person who was being facetious is actually spot on. Don't ever walk away from or slam your car trunk while you're trying to pump gas.
That's it. And don't smoke cigarettes when you try. People still do that down here in the South. Still smoke cigs. Drives me nuts.
People get upset if you're on your cell phone too.
I don't buy into that.
I remember a coworker once said to me, she was an older lady who smoked and didn't give enough. And she was getting gas that morning. And she said, a woman said to her, you're on your cell phone. We are going to die. And my coworker turned to her and said, consider yourself blowing up then.
That's awesome.
So there's your message.
The cig smoking people though, they're like, you got to get out of here. Smoking cigs and pumping.
No, that's
gas.
Crazy. That you just don't care at that point.
What's the benefit of tempting death while you're like, just finish pumping your gas, walk 100 yards away, smoke your cig.
These are also the same people who stick their head out of the shower to smoke cigarettes and wake up in the middle of the night to smoke cigarettes.
gross. I had a buddy in college who played a pickup basketball game, lit up a cig in the middle of the pickup basketball game. It's like,
oh, geez. It wasn't.
You're like, how are you smoking and playing basketball?
How was his game?
No, he's very short. Very good guy. Wes Copeland. Very short guy.
Yeah. Listen, Muggsy Bogues is short.
That's right. So am I. I can't play basketball, though. So Adrian, we'll close out with this. Adrian Peterson, latest rumors. Where do you see Adrian Peterson going?
Well, now it sounds like the Vikings want him back. I guess they couldn't talk.
They're not bringing him back at that price.
Well, they... 12.5 million, I believe, is what it is. That's a lot of money. But here's the other end of that conversation.
I thought it was like 15 million.
Maybe it is.
The cap number is 15.4.
I think the base salary is 12.
Base salary is 12.75. But I mean, if you cut him, the only dead money you've got is 2.4 million. So you say,
well, here's
I mean,
the conversation you have to have if you're the Vikings. How much would Adrian Peterson help Teddy Bridgewater? Because that's a huge question. If you don't think it's very much, then let him walk. He's pissed about the way things went down the last few months. I get that from both sides. But the Vikings also released a statement on Thursday saying, we want this guy back, and it sounds like Mike Zimmer's going to get on the horn and try to talk him up and sweet talk him.
They have to do that to make fans happy. Otherwise, they can't be like, listen,
maybe
we're not.
That's a good point.
I mean, because the reality is you can't tie up 10% of your salary cap on a running back and expect to win. I mean, no matter how cheap your quarterback is. You know what I mean? It just doesn't.
Bridgewater made a lot of strides towards the last half of the season. Maybe they can get by with, not Reggie Bush, but, you know, they can draft somebody. As you point out, there are plenty of running backs. They can find someone. Running back's the easiest position to pick up. It doesn't require a lot of. You're not playing left tackle, for example. So, yeah, maybe they just move on. I'm fine with that.
I just think that they come in and say, we need you to take a pay cut. AP says, no, I'm not taking a pay cut. And they say, all right, you know, this is
well, I wonder, what if they say we'll give you $8 million? Is he going to get more than that on the open market?
I think he'd get $8 million from Jerry Jones.
Oh, God. Maybe. I mean, you just don't know with Jerry Jones. Just they have so many things they could do with that money.
Peterson's 29.
Yeah.
So the one difference in Peterson is he's a freak. And like, the way he came back from his ACL, you know, I feel like he's going to me, and he doesn't have any miles on his tires from last season. I feel like Peterson is going to run like AP through the 33-year-old season before we see a drop off. I think he'll last a little bit longer. So I would be fine giving him 3 years and $8 million a year if I was the team on the free agent market. I desperately had to pay a running back. Like if I was the Colts, I'd do it.
Yeah, I mean that makes more sense.
I think he might get 3 years, $30 million from the Colts or the Cowboys.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm laughing because Ryan Grigson ain't afraid to sign anybody, and Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. Yeah, no, that's right. And maybe the Vikings want to move on, and I think you make a good point. Maybe this is their PR angle to get out of this, and whatever. Do what you gotta do.
I mean, you just can't deal with 15.4 tied up in the cap on a running back. That's a crazy, right? I mean, right? I feel like that's
for that team. Just, yeah, no, that's right. For any team, yes. I'm just trying to think about everything else that the Vikings could probably use that money on. It's a long list.
I mean, even Marshawn Lynch, and the Seahawks. There's no team that depended more on running than anybody else. I mean, according to overthecap.com, they're looking at $8.5 million, and then they could cut him and save $7 million. But I mean, they're not. They might pay him more. Might pay him $12 million next year, but it's not going to be $12 million against a cap. I mean, they'll figure out a way to circumvent that.
So, would you rather have Marshawn or AP? Do we have this conversation?
I think in a vacuum, I'd rather have AP.
What if you're the Seahawks?
Seahawks, I want Marshawn. He's a perfect fit for what they do. But I mean, Adrian Peterson. When Adrian Peterson is on the field and running like AP runs. It's hard, he's got declining yards per carry, but I just think if he gets reinstated before, the key is his reinstatement date, because all of a sudden, if he doesn't get reinstated until April 15th, now if he's reinstated March 10th and he can hit free agency like a normal with the rest of the people, that's fine. But if he didn't get reinstated until April 15th or whatever it is, then all of a sudden it's totally different, because at that point, teams like the Colts and the Cowboys will have decided to move on and pursue somebody in free agency. At that point, the Cowboys are probably going to pay DeMarco Murray.
Oh, listen, then, Jerry will wait for AP.
No, but at that point, the Vikings are still holding on to him, and they say, listen, AP, there's nobody out there. Let's renegotiate this deal. We'll get you some more guaranteed money up front, but we need you to get down to like $8 million a year. And they figure something out there. So it's possible he ends up staying. I think it depends on the length of that reinstatement.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. So as always, thanks for listening to the Eye on Football podcast. Enjoy your weekend. For Ryan Wilson, I'm Will Brinson. Don't forget to subscribe via iTunes.